Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fake Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
And now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back, Instigators. Hour number two, just waiting on our guest here. Hour number two, as I already mentioned, WGR 550 and MSG, The Instigators. I was just reading something here, sorry. So Steve Shields coming on here. We'll talk about, Owen Power, Matt Beniers, Eric Portillo, and time in Buffalo and all that stuff. Because it, when we sent out the video, there was a lot of good response yesterday on the fact that, he was coming on. So do we have that? I don't know if we're going to roll that when he joins us, Jeff, but that's
well, you got to get him to describe it. You got to roll it when he's on so he can describe what's going on, man. Nothing totally better than getting it right there.
What are you guys thinking of the playoffs? Let's talk a little playoffs while we're at it. How about Vegas last night? Are they surprising everybody here? They were down, they were 2-0. Now it's 2-2. Then they win last night. I mean,
you watched the game last night?
I watched as much as I could and I fell asleep.
Zero. Zero chance that they should have won that game last night. Zero. If you watch that game, it was all Avalanche.
Yeah.
Cale McCarr right now is the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. Do I have an argument on that?
Nope. Disgusting. Been unbelievable since the second he stepped into this game.
Listen,
he's unbelievable.
He came into the league and he was unbelievable. Okay. What he looks like right now, what is this, his second year in the NHL? What he looks like right now is completely off the chart. His ability to skate with the puck, his skill set, his vision and mindset, he's physical, he's hitting guys, he's stepping up. He is the best defenseman in this league right now.
He's so smooth. He's just
unbelievable.
His vision is just off the charts.
There was waves and waves of attack from Colorado last night. It was incredible. They were pushing the pace like you wouldn't believe. And they definitely, as far as I'm concerned, should have won that game last night. But, Vegas is they're a powerhouse. They're strong. They've got some elite players. They've got everything. They've got everything. This series, I said to my son last night when we were watching the game, I'm like, this right here, what we are watching, could be the Stanley Cup Finals. That's how good these two teams are.
Yeah. If it wasn't turnovers, they never would have won.
Yep.
Turnovers cost them every time.
Well, earlier in the year when these teams were playing the way they were playing, everybody was saying it's too bad that this couldn't be a final, potential final.
Did you watch Carolina-Tampa last night? You're talking about Team D? When it came into the Tampa zone, it was like it was kids. They were so aggressive. So aggressive. Their penalty kill late in the game too. Carolina had no chance. They had no time. They're just the Carolina. Puck, they were trying to pass to try to get separation, to try to loosen things up a bit. No chance. The more they passed, the more aggressive Tampa came, and they just choked them out.
The difference right now is Carolina reminds me a lot of the Islanders. They are insanely team structured.
Yep.
Insanely team structured. They very rarely make mistakes defensively. The goals that you have to score are either going to be a power play goal or it's going to be a seeing eye shot where the goaltender is not going to be able to make the save because he can't see the puck. Mm-hmm. Carolina is very structured. The problem is, so is Tampa Bay. And they have elite, elite talent on all their lines. It seems like every single line they send out on the ice has an opportunity to score. And you're looking at the fourth line. Do you know who's on the fourth line? Did you watch Tyler Johnson last night? Tyler Johnson is skating around on the fourth. He's the fourth line center playing with Pat Maroon and this Colton kid who I've never even heard of. But somehow Tampa Bay brings these guys up and they somehow are factors in the game. This Colton kid.
What's the new Pittsburgh Penguins, man? Physical. You bring somebody in.
Yeah, Detroit Red Wings. You know, they bring these kids in.
Where are they getting them
from?
But
they're there. They're not there at a young age. They're there. They're paying their dues. They're being trained the proper way.
And they're not being put in a position to have to go out and rest on the team. The team rest on them, I should say, at a young age.
Yeah. Anyway. Pretty strong team in Tampa, but Tampa Bay, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be Tampa and whoever comes out of this series right here with the Avalanche. I don't think the Avalanche are done. There's no way. They're just too good. I mean, they deserved to win the last game and they came up short, but I think there's a lot more fight in that team. I think it's going to be a game seven there.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, just waiting on Steve Shields. He's on his way in. We'll be with you in a second here. What do you think about the CN Tower all lit up in red, white, and blue for the Habs? Is that incredible? I don't know if anybody heard that, but Toronto, I'll find you the tweet. So Toronto, I sent this to the group chat last night. The CN Tower last night was lit red, white, and blue for the Canadians who will go on to represent Canada's hope for a 2021 Stanley Cup. Could there be any more of an insult?
I don't think so. I think that this is a classy, classy, classy act from the city of Toronto, and good on Toronto for getting it done, or Montreal for getting it done, but class act from Toronto.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG joining the show now.
No way.
Oh, geez.
Joining the show, Steve Shields. Good morning, Steve. I'll let you guys get it out of the way now.
Good morning, guys.
Razor, is this the best he's ever looked?
I think he looks fantastic.
I definitely look younger than you.
Yeah, you do. You are younger, but.
Hey, Steve, I was going to say, is this the worst you've ever seen Razor look?
No, he looks good. He's keeping it together really well. Really well.
No, he would have seen me some morning showing up at the rink that it wasn't too good.
Or late at night.
Yeah.
You know what? It's nice to sit here and look at another guy who's got more silver in his beard than me for a change.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can do anymore, right? When you get to this age. I mean, it's tough. Like, you get to that point where you just give up on all that and you just accept the fact that just never going to be young again. It's never going to feel that good anymore.
Well, let me boost you up a little bit here, because I was telling our producer a story before because I'd never met you before. Steve Shields joining the show, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk to you about a lot of things. How long do you have, by the way?
As long as you want.
Oh, perfect. So I'm 26 years old. We just finished I'll tell the story really quickly. I'm 26 years old. 05-06 season just ends. We lose to Carolina game 7. I'm at a party in the summertime. It's early. It's like end of June, early July. And we're sitting around and you know, everyone's had a good time and it's late, and you know, I start, you know, like, hey, so who's the greatest looking Sabre of all time, right? To all these people. And two women turn and look at me, and they literally look, and they didn't take a second, not 1 second. Okay. And at the time, they're like, I'm 26. They're in their late 30s at the time. So they're right in your age. Okay. They look and they say, Steve Shields, no question. Well, there you go.
not a response, eh? Just like this. Not a big deal.
I mean,
doesn't get old.
Well, it doesn't get old. I mean, no matter what, if somebody tells you you look good, it feels good, no matter how old you are, especially now. Somebody younger, if one of the guys on the team sees me working out and they say I look good, it always makes my day better. But yeah. I think that's the same for all of us.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and joining us, because you definitely look good, better than all of us. Steve Shields joining us here. So he's the assistant coach at the University of Michigan, played a long time in the NHL, played for the Sabres and many other teams. And we sit here, Steve, are you familiar with the Sabres situation?
Yeah. Yeah. All the situations.
So we're sitting on the number one pick, and Craig and I and Razor and everybody, every time we're on the show, we talk about what the Sabres are going to do. Tell us about some of these players that Michigan have. Owen Power, Matt Beniers. Is it Ken Johnson? Kent yeah. Johnson. You know, there's many good players there, but two that, you know, maybe could go as high as number one. But tell us about Owen Power.
Well, Owen's, you know, a Canadian kid, like we are for the most part, right, Craig?
That's it. You
know, Ontario kid, you know, and the one thing that I will say about all three of these young men is they're just unbelievable guys. Like they, you know, for their age, they have a lot of maturity. Owen comes across as one of those guys that when you know, sometimes you meet players, like I've met that Shane Wright, that kid and some of the other guys that have turned out to be really good players, they have a sort of you know, a confidence about them, but they're curious about things and they're pretty sure of themselves, you know, while, you know, being curious. And that to me is what Owen Power is. I mean, he's, you know, he's a really good kid. He wants to do well. He's a team player. And he's, you know, for me, I mean, any, you know, one of three of these guys would be a great asset. Owen is a special player. And, you know, even I didn't know, you know, like you can't really sometimes see their ceiling. I'm not a great evaluator of how guys are going to turn out for the most part player. But when I saw Owen play at the World Championships, you know, that's a, you know, he went from playing college to that level and he looked better at that level than he did even in college. So that says a lot about, you know, the potential of somebody like that. But, you know, for me, it's all about like, does this guy want to get better? Does he, you know, is he going to listen? And, you know, is he okay accepting the things that he's got to do to become the player he wants? And Owen is all of those guys wrapped into one.
When you're looking, we talk about Matt Beniers. He's the top ranked forward in this year's draft. A lot of great things about the way that he plays, his speed, tenaciousness. What can you tell us about, you know, what you see in his game and his ceiling?
Well, Matty's, you know, another, you know, he's a very intelligent young man as well. So he's, you know, like he's really sharp. You know, he's, you know, laser focused on becoming a great player. And you know, the thing that I hear from, you know, the people that are watching these guys when they compare Kent and Matty is, you know, Matty to them is more NHL ready in terms of you could plug him in pretty much anywhere right now and he would do okay. Now, I'm not sure if he's ready or that's going to be somebody else's decision, but, you know, what he brings to the table right now in terms of, you know, his intensity, the way he brings it, his ability to take faceoffs and just his ability to play anywhere, you know, is, you know, something pretty special, you know, in itself in that sense. Now, I think sometimes when that narrative happens, it takes away from his, just his raw ability to to play the game really well and be a skilled player. And so I don't want people to lose that when they talk about the way he is. Like, you could plug him in now and he, you know, to me, he's got a really high ceiling. And, you know, like when I watch him, I just saw him get better in terms of he does everything well. Like he's got real, you know, he doesn't have a lot of deficiencies at all. But when I see him shoot the puck and his release and what he does around the net, I just see a lot that can be built on. And I think that, you know, along with any of these guys are in the top 5, 10, 15 picks, they're so good now that it's hard to pick them apart at all. You know, like I look at, you know, what guys do, and then I look at their, you know, what they're like as a person. And to me, that's always going to tell the tale for those top players are, you know, do they accept the coaching and, you know, do they want to get better and are they, you know, able to really listen and be okay with that? And he is definitely one of those guys. You know, I could never pick these guys apart. Like I would have no idea who to pick first or second.
Instigators.
Because they're all so good.
WGR 550 NMSG. Steve Shields, University of Michigan assistant coach, obviously very close and knowing these top draft picks that are there with the team, and we're going to see them at the draft coming up. But, you know, with the Sabres having the number one pick, you know, all eyes on Owen Power. And I hear what you're saying, I love all of it. And I guess I ask you this, like, do you have a comparison? Like, you played in the league, you watched the league, and now you see this mammoth defenseman who's mobile and can handle the puck. And who's he compared to? I don't want to throw Hedman in there because we're talking the best defenseman in the league. But when you talk about size and skating ability and puck handling ability, I mean, it's hard not to maybe focus on that.
Well, and it depends too. Like, I mean, I see it through the prism of where I come from. And, you know, when I played with near the end of my career, I played with Jay Boumeester in Florida, and he was a high pick, but I'm sure I'm wrong in a lot of ways. And, you know, just in the sense of, you know, what their ceiling is, but, you know, Owen makes very simple plays, but he surprises you because the goalies on the team think he does just make really smart plays. He makes the same play every time. It's the right play. Like when I watched Jay Boumeester at the beginning of his career, he could skate, you know, his level of skating was much better than the guys that he was being compared to. And his game was just very simple. And he didn't try to do too much. And that's a huge thing for these guys. And, you know, he's a big guy, skates well, is going to have the ability to create offense, and he makes the right plays. I mean, who are those guys in the league right now? Those are guys that, you know, Owen Power is probably going to be compared to. But, you know, he's his own guy. I see a guy that's going to have a lot of offensive ability. At the same time, like, I just don't see the deficiencies in what he does because his decision-making is good at this point. You know, it really alleviates a lot of the, you know, the stress that I would have picking him because, you know, he can do the things that you need him to do. It's just a matter of, are you going to put him in a system where they're going to be able to unlock him to where he can really achieve his potential offensively as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't even know who to compare him to now, but for me, that's the guy
Steve Shields joining us here on the show, University of Michigan assistant coach. Let's see if his Wi-Fi there reboots up, but I wanted to ask him, I mean, you guys feel free to ask questions too. Riv,
no, you're doing a great job. Seriously.
It's your show.
It's amazing how serious you can get.
Well, you gotta pick your spot. Hey, isn't that the key to our careers? Picking our spots. We're just waiting.
You know,
to see
as a young, when I listen to Steve speak about, you know, Owen Power, you know, the size, 6'6", 215 pound, 19-year-old hockey player. Okay. We have been told that he skates very well. He's very smooth in the way that he skates. He has offensive abilities. Is he going to be an elite offensive defenseman? We don't know that. We don't know his upside, but we know that he is going to be some sort of offensive ability. The question that I have is, how is he defend? How does he defend? How does he think the game against you know, the better players that he's playing against now. Can that translate to the next level too?
Steve, that's
not that one. I got
cut off for a minute.
No, yeah. That's okay. And then, you know, Rivs being the professional and expert that he is in this, he took over while you froze, and then he rephrased his comment into a question right back at you when you came back. So
defending, you know, like for me, you know, and let's be clear, I'm the director of player development with the team, so I don't coach the guys on a day-to-day basis in terms of I couldn't tell you how great of a defender he is. But for me, if you're trying to gauge what he's going to be like, what did you think of him at the World Championships? Like, did he make the right plays? Did he look out of place? Like, and was his position on the team, like, did he improve throughout the tournament? You know, and was he better at the end than he was at the beginning? For me, that's like, if that's where he trended in that tournament, to me, that's would answer a lot of questions for me as to where he could go, you know, with his game.
And I think that's elevated his stature. Like, he was number one overall. He's going to be a number one overall pick. He goes to the World Championships. He starts off, he plays 8 minutes a game in his first game. By the end of the tournament, his last three or four games, he was the leading minute eater on the team, on the defense. He was playing sometimes 5 minutes more than the next highest minute guy on the team. In the finals against Finland, in the finals, the championship game, he played 10 minutes and 35 seconds in the third period. This kid took off against NHL caliber players and looked extremely calm. And think about it. He's 19 years old. 19. What's he going to be like in a couple of years from now? I mean, the ceiling for Owen Powers is very high.
Who do you compare him to?
I compare him to a young Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman, when he came into the league, was 6'6". He was 215 pounds. He was not overly physical. His offensive game was solid, but you knew that he wasn't going to be an offensive threat like a Cale Makar or a Hughes or a Rasmus Dahlin. I look at Victor Hedman in the way that he moves the puck very simply. He defends really strong, but he's got great wheels to move up in the play. I look at him like, and we're looking at a Victor Hedman who's 30 years old right now.
Right.
But I believe that Owen Power, with his size, his structure, his skating ability, I think he could be a 40-point player in the National Hockey League playing big, big minutes for many, many years in this league.
Steve Shields joining the Instigators here with Rob Ray as well. Eric Portillo, Steve, you have Eric Portillo there. He's a third rounder by the Buffalo Sabres, and you know, goaltending, obviously, you know, a question mark here in the years to come. They have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but who knows what Allmark does. Tell us about Portillo and what's his upside look like?
Well, for me, I mean, I've known Eric for a few years now. And, you know, when I've watched him the last year and a half and watched how he takes in information from, you know, all the coaches that are around him, whether he's in Sweden or he's with, you know, like doing development with Buffalo, whether he was working with Chris Mayotte here. He's just, to me, like, he's a diamond in the rough to the point where, like, I look at this kid and I see, you know, I do see parts of Vasilevskiy in him. Like, I see like a very high end goalie who's, you know, who's a very athletic player and who wants to use his athletic ability right now, which I love because, you know, for me, that stuff you can't teach. You know, the stuff that you can teach goalies, he's really raw. Like, he's, you know, his skating, he's going to get better at his, you know, save selection, like doing the same thing every time and making the right save. You know, he's more new to that, you know, but he's, you know, he's not the most outgoing kid, but put him in a game, he's a different animal. I mean, he's, you know, he's yelling at the guys, he's communicating, he's into the game. Like, to me, you know, there's parts of him in the game that remind me of Jacob Markstrom, just the way that he's into the game. And I think guys feed off it, but he is definitely, for me, a diamond in the rough. And, you know, in the right circumstances, I could see him, you know, really helping an NHL team at some point, because he's got some of those things that you can't teach a guy, you know, and that's basically how to scramble under control, you know, and when you have to sell out, can you do it, you know, while you're still a guy that can make, you know, those consistent saves that you have to make. He's big, moves the puck well, makes good decisions. You know, and like, geez, he just, like, you know, when he came in for us, he just balled out. Like, he, you know, the guys on the team were taken aback about how much, you know, he was into the game, and he ran the defensive zone. He moved the puck a lot, you know, and another kid who's, you know, very intelligent, and he wants to be a player, and, you know, and he can take the coaching, you know, because he's in a, you know, and he's very new to his body. Like, he's, you know, he's a big guy. And for these big guys that are that age, sometimes it, you know, it does take them a while to feel comfortable in the frame of the net, you know, like on tight angles and anything down low, it's hard, you know, because they have this new size. But for him to do what he's doing, you know, now, like, that was very, you know, for me, was very encouraging. And he's, you know, he's a top prospect as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if he doesn't come to his first training camp looking to throw some punches, I'm going to consider his time at Michigan and under you a complete waste.
That, for some reason, we can't teach that anymore.
Are any of these kids, in your opinion, ready next year to boom, step in? Or are they a group of kids that still needs some developing at your level? Even
my whole issue with the NHL right now is it's the best league in the world. I don't understand how any 18-year-old plays in the NHL. Like, it doesn't register with me that if this is the best league in the world, how can a kid who's 18 and get drafted already play there? Like, so, you know, for me, it's very hard, because I would have said Owen Power would be great, like these other top defensemen in college who are all doing 2 years, you know, like Makar, Quinn Hughes, when we had Zach Werenski, they did 2 years before they went to the NHL. At the end of their second year, they were getting bored. Now, Owens might not have that opportunity, but I was very surprised at the World Championships at just how regular he looked, like he belonged there. So I don't know how you keep him out. You know, my only question would be is, I think it's a tough situation, because do you want, like, is there a point where you have to allow a kid to get bored at the level he's at, so that he's really confident and really ready to move on? Or do you,
and excited now, and excited, and maybe even a little more eager
and excited and more ready, you know, like, so that to me is,
did he dominate at Michigan? Did he dominate in the games that he played against at that level?
I don't know what dominate would mean for.
Okay. So the answer is no.
What would that look like?
The answer is no.
The right place. Never looked out of place.
I know he never looked out of place, but Cale Makar, when he played his second year, looked like he shouldn't have been playing at that level, because he dominated. Well, right?
And Quinn as well. But that was more their offensive gifts.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what Owen is right now. But, you know, and I always go back to, if the coaches aren't talking about a D-man, isn't he doing a great job? So, right. I don't know what Owen does on a day-to-day basis that would make you talk about him so much. He just does everything right.
Like, yeah.
Well, it would benefit,
and he's a really good skater.
It would definitely benefit you guys if they all came back, though. Hey, Steve, I'm sure there's some hope that some of them. I mean, you have to imagine it'd be great for them to win, right? And it'd be great for everybody in the program too. So, let's shift gears here a little bit. I apologize for grilling you. We've grilled you 20 minutes here with all players that you coached there, but we want to have a little fun with you too. So we have a special video here for you. See if we bring back some memories. I'm sure you never hear the end of this, but we'll roll it from the studio.
Snow is hanging on to the crossbar. trying to get them apart, and they want to go. Here they go. Shield firing punches at Kurt Snow. Aramie right in front of the bench. Shields and Snow going at it. And everybody else is grappling, and this crowd is going bananas. Now the Lionsman will try to separate the goaltenders again, and Shields wants some more.
Now, from what I understand, Steve, you don't like this kind of stuff.
Well, there's a lot to get at here. You know, first of all, how do you not like it when you're, you know, like the team I was on there? I mean, you had to like it. I mean, because that's what you were doing. I mean, if the time comes, you're doing it. And I enjoyed it. I mean, that's just who I am. I'm a competitor. It's not, and it's a lot different than being Razor, where on the days you don't feel like it, you know, you're showing up and you're doing it. Like, that was sort of building up because, you know, we had incidents with them for the last, couple prior years. And, you know, Gar Snow is, he's just that type of guy that, you know, you want to get into it with him when you, you know, when you're around him. So, you know, it just, so it was just like one of those moments where everything fell into place, and, you know, it was fun. I mean, I was so tired though, after throwing three punches, that I thought they were going to throw me out. I was not happy when I had to go back in and play that tired.
Did you have to serve a 5-minute penalty?
No.
No?
No, nothing. I just went back to the net and I was like, I hope I get thrown out.
Yeah. You just went back in net after that?
Fighting major, and you go back in the net.
I got a 5-minute fighting major. I got 2 minutes for something else. I might have got a, you didn't even get a 10 back there for leaving the crease or anything. Like, I just blew right down. You know, I made the excuse like, well, as soon as Gar Snow gets involved, then it's 6-on-5. Well, if you look, he basically might, I think it was to Razor, I'm not sure, but he might have put his glove on Razor's back, and I was like, I'm out, I'm down. Like, he can't attack him like that. I have to go protect him, you know, and it's just, and then Bobby, when Bugner comes over to me on the glass, I'll never forget, he's telling me to calm down. Like, Bob Bugner's telling me to calm down. Like, you know, and I'm like, okay, so I'll just go stand at the blue line and wait, you know, because I knew it was coming. I mean, Gar Snow wanted to, like, he loved having that fun too, you know, and I know Hextall was on the bench, so, you know, that was a part of it. I think Gar Snow was ready to take over that label from Hextall, and, you know, I'm down for it.
You know,
it was a good time.
I saw you crank him with the bare hand and the goalie mask. And yeah. I mean, that had to hurt.
Well, I don't remember the feeling because I was too wound up, but I remember looking back at it, and I'll never forget, like, if I could have got his mask off, it could have been, I mean, now
that punch might have knocked him out,
but there was three where it was right on his mask. And I'm like, I don't even remember doing that. I don't remember caring. I just, like, everything went out the window, and you're just like, it's weird how I never realized that when you end up in those, you don't have any control over anything. You're just doing it. Like, I didn't know it was like that. Like, I thought you could sit there and act like you're boxing and duck and whatever. But once everything goes, it's like, it's really like fight or flight.
What about the night when, so what about the night when you got put in for Dom and then you fought Sean Burke? Did you ask Lindy to go in?
Hell no. No, there was 6 minutes to go in the game. Like,
your mind was already on Chippewa Street.
Well, Barney or somebody went down to the far end and ran Burke over, and then everything started. And then, so at that face-off, right before that face-off, the only Razor, you were gone, right?
Yeah, I had fought
Trevor Linden
before that.
Well, the only real tough guy we had left, or the only real big guy left on the ice, was Brashear. And when he went out, pointed down at Dom. And so when he pointed down at Dom, Lindy, it was Donnie Lever ran down the bench and kicked me in the ass and said, get out there. Like, you know, so I hopped over the boards and then Dom was like, and I didn't know if Dom like waved himself out or whatever, but I'll never forget Dom kind of skates by and he's chuckling. And then, you know, he was really good after the game, but I was, that was probably a nerve. Like I was concerned there that Brashear was coming for me. You know, so I was trying to figure out how am I going to defend myself because I can't run away, but I'm also not stupid. Like, I don't want to get hit by that guy. So I was like, am I going to have to swing my stick at somebody? I'm like, I've never done that, you know? But so then I just went, like, I just was like hoping. And then I ran into Sean Burke, who's one of the strongest goalies
he's a big
I've
man.
Ever played against. And he had me tied up like right there. He already got his shot in on me. And then right there, he was telling me like, what are you doing? You're not going anywhere, Shieldsy. There's nothing happening. And I couldn't resist. I had to just give him one little sucker at the end. It's funny because I ran into him about 2 weeks after that on the road somewhere. And I was just like, oh, hey, buddy. How you doing?
Do you have a couple more minutes with us? We got to take a break, but we'd love to stick you around because you grew up with Craig's brother.
Yeah.
And there's a person we want to ask you about. Don't answer it now. Have you ever heard of the North Bay Gooch, the Gooch? We'll talk about that. Riv will tell you who it is on the other side. I guess he was a pretty tough men's league guy up there in the Bay. We'll be right back. Steve Shields, this is awesome. Stick around, more to come.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Couple of North Bay boys on the show. Rob Ray, where are you from? You're from Sterling, Ontario.
Ontario. Yeah, we're a little more under control by the sounds of it from these two guys.
Yeah, St. Catharines. I'm from St. Catharines, so we got four Ontario boys.
That lack of trees and abundance of moss and rock up there kind of got to their heads by the sounds of it.
So let's hear it. Riv, ask him the question.
Well, I asked him where he went to high school, and we actually both went to the same high school. It's called Chippewa. But even better than that is I went to a middle school that was called Centennial. Now it was a very rough school. There was four elementary.
You know, we only have like 3.5 minutes.
So anyway, I asked Steve, do you remember about the fights that happened between the French school across the river? And he's like, absolutely. I remember they would send five of the toughest guys from each school. And what would happen? You would basically pick who would fight who. And it was like the fight didn't end until somebody was either knocked out or gave up.
Steve, anything to add?
Well, what can you add to that except for...
Is it real?
It's real. And I remember watching those and being scared that, what if somebody made me go and do that?
Like, yes.
I'll never forget how scary it was to watch that type of violence. Like, and it was just sort of like, there was a big group of like people, there's kids in a big circle, and they didn't really stop until the one person was down. It was really strange. Like, it really affected me later on, like just watching that stuff. Now, I like to fight in hockey. Like, that's more controlled. Yeah. There, like, no one can really get hurt, but like, even to this day, I don't watch really the UFC or stuff like that. I can't watch it, like, because I'm always feeling like for the guy that's getting pummeled, like,
yeah,
it's got to be so scary.
Does this fight still happen? Is this a...
I don't think it still happens. I took my boys back to the school. The school has closed. Centennial has closed. Thank God for that.
Craig's not there to set them up anymore.
Well, you know what? I was telling these guys, I didn't want to be a part of that because, like you said, most of the guys that I went to school with in grade 8 should have been in grade 9 or 10. So they should have been like sophomores. Like, I was telling Petey that there was a guy that actually drove to our graduation in grade 8. He drove his car. So think about it. Like, this is not right. It's a very different. And I was a bigger kid. I was very physical and rough and tough. But to deal with guys that were 6 feet, 6'1", 205 pounds in grade 8 that should have been in sophomore year in high school is a big difference. And you would basically take your top 5 guys. And I was probably usually sitting around 6 or 7. Yeah. So I'm sitting there the night before, like how you think about PD, a fight the next night against a certain guy. That's what I thought about the next day. Like, oh my, please let those 5 guys show up. Well, because I don't want to be tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, yeah, Rivs, you're the 5th guy. No, I don't want that. It's scary.
Like in our high school, there was the part at the back where it was a smoking section. And I'm telling you,
South End.
It was like the outside of a bar with a bunch of adults.
Thunderdome.
All high school kids. It was like strange.
There was guys that I went to school with, okay, that I went to Centennial, this school that had all, those were the guys that were hanging out down there. There was guys that went to Steve Shields' school that would not walk at that part of the school. They would not go. And I'm like, hey, guys, don't
worry.
It's
like in Step Brothers, they won't go down past those kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just said, don't worry about it. You're with me. Everything's going to be fine. So they're scared out of their bejesus to walk down to a certain part of the school. But I went to school with all these guys.
Fun times.
It was crazy.
Who picked the guys to fight?
The students.
We got to go.
You knew exactly who was going.
We got to go. Last question. North Bay Gooch, you know him?
I don't. I know the name. I just can't remember the context.
His last name is actually Gooch, Gooch-Siak or whatever. So that's why his nickname was the Gooch. Riv never knew that. He just found that out today. Steve, we'll let you go because we know Days of Our Lives is on at 1. So you got, we've heard that was your thing, your routine. You'd watch Days of Your Lives and then go for your pregame nap. Is that true?
Back in the day, but I'm an adult now. So
You're an adult now. And you're doing great at the University of Michigan, and we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. It was really fantastic hearing from you. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Good luck to you, Steve.
Good luck, Steve.
Good luck, man.
All right, Instigators, we'll be right back. One more short segment, and then we'll say goodbye till tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, thank you to Steve Shields. We don't have a ton of time. Adam Fox, Victor Hedman, and the third is who, Craig?
Kale McCarr.
Kale McCarr. Who wins the Norris Trophy this year?
So say it again. Victor Hedman, Kale McCarr, and
Adam Fox, the Rangers. He had a sick year, man.
Incredible year. Most undercover elite defenseman in the NHL right now is no other than Adam Fox.
Adam Fox.
And I don't even know where to go. I'm going to have to go with Victor Hedman, because I just think that he is so dominant in every part of the game. I still think that he has that defensive abilities over Kale McCarr and Adam Fox that are more dynamic. So I'm just going to have to go with Victor Hedman.
I'm going to go Kale McCarr, but Adam Fox is a close second.
I'm going to go Kale McCarr.
I'm only going to put Hedman in third only because of the team he's on.
Okay, I like that, Razor. I like that a lot. We have 1 minute. Kale McCarr, Riv, how much money is he going to make next year?
He's going to make a boatload. I would think that they would try and keep him on a 3-year deal. I think they're going to try and keep him on a real shorter deal because they still have years of restricted free agent after that. And there's no reason, like, what makes you think that he's not going to sign for $11 million? I think they're going to really try and do a good job of trying to keep him on a shorter term deal to give that team a chance to stay together still and win.
Yep.
And keep Landeskog.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. They've got some big contracts that are their opportunity to win a Stanley Cup is going to come in the next 3 years.
Razor, great stuff today, man. Thanks. Happy birthday yesterday. We missed
belated
it. We wished Coletta a birthday. Pardon?
What the heck? You reached out to Coletta and you didn't reach out to me?
Love you, Rob. One Bills live next. Instigators. Talk to you next Wednesday. Razor, we'll be back tomorrow. Elliot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.